for a glam wreck of Roses and Two come along in one go. Mud's on the theme of Animal Magic and Tiger Feet and Sweets. Oh, and Blockbuster. I still remember the record labels. Mud was RAK, wasn't it? So with the boat on it and a Sweet on the RCA label, the orange one. 40 minutes past 8, the Full English Breakfast Show. Rugby may be seen as a sport for the fittest and toughest of people, but the game's legacy could be a lifetime of health problems, according to research. The I newspaper reports that scientists are now calling on the sports governing bodies to step up efforts to prevent injury and support players after retirement in the wake of their findings. Dr. Karen Hine from the Department of Sports and Exercise Sciences at Durham University said it's clear from the findings that playing rugby union or rugby league is associated with lasting impacts in terms of injury and pain. Although there have been initiatives and rule changes to try and make the game safer, the rates of injury across the player's entire career are still very high. The game is now also faster and players are bigger than they used to be, so the impacts are greater. The study carried out in the UK and New Zealand and published in the academic journal Sports Medicine compared the types and number of injuries suffered by 254 male elite rugby players, amateur rugby players and non-contact athletes such as cricketers. Both elite and amateur rugby union and league players reported suffering back pain and severe and regular joint pain, which they attributed to the long-term impacts of their cumulative injuries post-retirement. Concussion was the most common injury among rugby players, with most suffering at least once during their career. Around half of all players had sustained a knee ligament injury, with 25% experiencing ongoing problems. And osteoarthritis, which causes joints to become painful and stiff, was twice as common among elite rugby players compared to non-contact athletes and was associated with the previous injuries and surgery. Gosh, dangerous, isn't it? This is Paul Weller from On Sunset and More. A clip from Only Fools and Horses as part of the comedy this morning.
All right, Maureen, I can take over.
Right.
Au revoir. Parlez-vous de français?
Ah oui, bien sûr. Pouvez-vous m'aider, s'il vous plaît? Est-ce qu'il y a un hôtel ou pension quelconque par ici où je peux trouver une chambre?
No, she don't speak French either, my love.
Excusez-moi, monsieur. Je ne suis pas français, mais allemande. Allemagne. Deutschland. Germany, yeah?
She's German.
Oh, it's all right. Hand it over, Mike. Bamber's cracked it. She's
here,
German.
Here, where you was? I can speak a bit of German.
Can you?
Yeah, I was over there just after the war.
Yeah, shut up. Come on, sit down. Sit down. Come over here. Right. Sit down, Ella. Listen to me. I want you to ask her what her name is, you know, where she lives, her address and all that sort of thing, all right?
Right, lead us to me. What is your name?
What is your name? What is your... He's winding me up, isn't he?
Does anyone speak English?
English? You saucy man. Of course we speak English. We invented a lingo, didn't we, eh?
Yes, we speak... Well, I speak English.
Riviera Radio. Business.
And it's the end of scratchy phone lines from Switzerland. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ah, amazing.
Crystal clear quality, no problems.
Zoom. Just one kiss and we were on the moon. It's one of your favourite songs,
isn't
it? Is
that your new chat-up line?
Who's Zooming who? Yeah, we got Zoom finally installed in the studio. Well, I didn't do it. Rosie, who's young enough to be my daughter, did it, but she knows far more about it than I do. Are you okay?
I mean, you were a long way from understanding the technology yesterday, let's be clear.
Well, it's not that
you
easy,
you were a million
really.
Miles away.
Especially when you know nothing about technology like me, but so I just know to press the buttons on the mixer, that's enough for me. Anyway, let's get on with it, shall we? Markets are going from strength to strength at the moment. Of course, hopes of a COVID-19 vaccine are to the fore as well.
Exactly right, US stocks climbing to a more than 1 month high yesterday amid optimism about the progress on developing a vaccine for the coronavirus. Shares in biotech firm Moderna, we've heard a lot about them recently. They've had promising early stage results, their shares rising to a record high. AstraZeneca shares also rose yesterday in optimism surrounding its vaccine efforts, helping to boost sentiment despite new outbreaks of COVID-19 across the United States, but also in Asia. Investors also reacting to the Federal Reserve, the US central bank, that the economy is showing signs of a nascent recovery at the beginning of July. And a cooling of trade tensions between the US and China, reported that President Trump has indicated to aid that he doesn't want to escalate tensions with Beijing and has ruled out additional sanctions on top officials, at least for now. Where did that leave us in terms of markets? S&P was up 0.9%. NASDAQ was up 0.6% at the close yesterday. Opening calls, however, on the European bourses looking a little bit weaker this morning. We're currently calling the FTSE down 20 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 97 points. CAC in Paris off 26 points.
It definitely is an improvement on the phone line, but it's still a little bit scratchy. I think we'll have to get Rosie back with her sonic screwdriver to fine-tune it a bit later. But let's move on to China. If anyone's going to recover quickly, it was China. But the problem is, who are they selling their exports to? And there's going to be an increased need for domestic consumption, isn't there?
Yeah, and that's the weakest area that you see from these numbers and still a major concern for its growth outlook. Chinese economy did return to growth during the course of the second quarter. World's second largest economy expanded 3.2% in the 3 months to June from a year earlier. That's better than expected, encouraging some economists to suggest there is going to be a V-shaped recovery, partly reversing, of course, that 6.8% decline that we saw in Q1 and helping it to avoid a technical recession. However, we should remind ourselves output was still down 1.6% on the same period in 2019. China's the first major economy to emerge from lockdown restrictions, seen as a blueprint for other economies, seen somewhat of a conservative stimulus approach from policymakers in China, it has to be said. As you quite rightly point out, still vulnerable to external demand shocks. On the positive side, it was really around industrial production that rose 4.8%. But consumer sentiment remains weak. Unemployment has been rising. Retail sales shrank 1.8%, worse than the market was looking for. And the market was looking for a positive number of 0.5%. Business confidence remains under pressure. There's higher levels of corporate debt that's been holding back fixed asset investment. That shrank 3.1% in the first half of the year. On the policy side, policymakers have signaled it's unlikely to become more supportive. They continue to clamp down on the flow of cheap money. China has not set an official target for growth during the course of this year. It's the first time they haven't done that since the 1990s. We expect China to grow at 2.3% this year compared to 6.1% last year, but one of the only major regions, if not the only major region, to register a growth this year.
That's a growth rate to die for, really, isn't it?
Well, compared to what you'll see elsewhere, absolutely.
And the European Commission has a sour taste in its mouth this morning following yesterday's Apple ruling.
Yeah, Apple won its court fight over a record €13 billion Irish tax bill with the European Union that's been seeking to crack down on preferential tax deals for companies. The European Union's General Court said the European Commission failed to show Ireland's tax arrangement with the iPhone maker was illegal state subsidy or state aid, I think they described it as. Apple's huge sales but low tax rate have attracted scrutiny in Europe, which has focused on complicated company structures for transferring profits generated from intellectual property. The decision removed a small dark cloud hanging over Apple's very bright sky. Apple shares are up 30% year to date. It's actually close to overtaking Saudi Arabia's Aramco as the world's most valuable company. So good news for Apple yesterday, not such good news for the European Union.
And did you have anything to do with the fact that Chris Grayling failed to become chairman of the Commons Intelligence and Security Committee yesterday? Know anything about that?
Nothing to do with me. I did see him down at the club a couple of weeks ago and he was looking at all right then. So he's probably somewhat shocked a little bit by the developments overnight and an old-fashioned sort of political coup taking place, wasn't it? It seems a big surprise that he wasn't announced as chairman yesterday.
Yes, and naughty Julian Lewis has now had the whip removed from him as a punishment.
He has. The Conservatives with a big majority, but still they are prepared to rebel as and when required.
OK, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 125.5 this morning. Euro dollar 114. €1.10 for your British pound this morning.
Right, well, I'll book your call tomorrow morning at the same time then.
I'm looking forward to it. Zoom you later.
Yes, bye. Hank Possum Barclays.
This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
I'm Rob Harrison with the top stories across the Riviera. The French Prime Minister Jean Castex has said the wearing of face masks in closed public spaces, including supermarkets and shops, will become obligatory on or before the 1st of August. Speaking in the National Assembly in Paris on Wednesday, Mr. Castex said the new rules could be introduced before the end of the month, depending on data estimating the spread of COVID-19, but he stressed he did not wish to alarm the public. Mr. Castex also said there were no plans for a fresh national lockdown, but admitted some regions insisted could face new restrictions if cases of the virus spread quickly. Health authorities in Marseille have expressed concern after new cases of COVID-19 doubled in the city in the past 10 days. Up to 25 people a day have been testing positive for coronavirus since the 6th of July, and health authorities are calling on the public to be extremely vigilant and maintain social distancing. 917 people have died in the Provence-Alpes Côte d'Azur since the start of the epidemic, with 17,243 people testing positive for the virus. Employees at McDonald's at the top of the Avenue Jean Médecin in Nice have started strike action in protest over working conditions. Staff at the fast food restaurant say they're being made to work in dangerous and unhygienic conditions, and that management have refused to listen to their complaints, which include being spat and shouted at by members of the public. Reports say that used syringes have been found in the restaurant's toilets, and that last November a member of staff had his nose broken by a customer. Three quarters of the staff working at the restaurants are students who are paid on average €1,050 per month. There are also allegations that management of the branch shouted at staff in front of customers, and that one employee was threatened with the sack for asking for a day of compassionate leave. Basic hygiene regulations have also been raised, with freezers not at the correct temperature and storerooms liable to flooding. McDonald's is yet to respond to the allegations. Five youths who've confessed to being involved in a fatal brawl at Brasse near Brignoles on Sunday night have been remanded in custody. A 16-year-old from Manosque died during the fight between rival gangs after being stabbed, and an 18-year-old is still in the hospital with serious abdominal wounds. The five have told investigators they were all involved in one manner or another, but no one has confessed to stabbing the dead boy. They'll each be interviewed again separately by an investigating magistrate and can be expected to be charged with offences ranging from murder to grievous bodily harm. And authorities in Nice are getting tough on badly parked motor scooters and bikes. Fines of between €35 and €135 are being dished out for illegally parked machines, depending on the severity of the offence. Police say that while they exercise a certain tolerance, the situation is getting out of control and inconveniencing pedestrians. Nice City Hall says it has already created hundreds of new places for bike parking in the centre of the town, and owners should respect the regulations. In national news today, the new French Prime Minister Jean Castex has outlined his government's programme in the National Assembly. Mr. Castex, who replaced Edouard Philippe in a cabinet reshuffle early this week, told deputies that the coronavirus crisis meant that France had to transform its industry, adding that the fallout from the pandemic had underscored the country's overdependence on imports. A €100 billion economic package, including €40 billion in aid for domestic industries and services, is to be rolled out on Friday, and Mr. Castex has promised to slash corporate taxes. €25 billion is to be pumped into research and green technologies, and fighting unemployment is to be the government's absolute priority over the next 18 months. And the security detail for President Macron has been called into question after he was confronted by protesters calling for his resignation while walking in a public garden in Paris on Bastille Day evening. The president was spotted by a group of yellow vest protesters while he was walking with his wife in the Tuileries garden near the Louvre. The couple were accompanied by security guards, but a crowd of people quickly surrounded them and shouted at the president to resign. Mr. Macron urged the group to be cool in exchanges lasting around 6 minutes. Security experts say the incident could have developed into a real problem, while opposition politicians have called on the president to exercise more caution.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Football, there were four games in the English Premier League last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Andy Barwell at the BBC Sports Centre. The new champions Liverpool suffered their third defeat of the Premier League season. In going down 2-1 away at Arsenal, result means that Liverpool now can't make 100 points for the season or make it a record number of wins in a campaign. Reece Nelson got the Arsenal winner, his first Premier League goal. Liverpool will be presented with the Premier League trophy after their match against Chelsea at Anfield next Wednesday. The Premier League say the historic occasion will be marked with a unique ceremony designed to acknowledge the club's supporters, who of course can't be at the game. Manchester City held on to beat Bournemouth 2-1 at the Etihad Stadium. Bournemouth remain in the drop zone, and Eddie Howe's side really need to win their last two games this season if they're to survive.
We can. We would need to match the performance levels here, maybe surpass them. Two really tough games. I think we just look at the first one, and that's Southampton, and that's all we should focus on now.
Chris Wood scored a dramatic stoppage-time penalty to secure a 1-1 draw for Burnley at home to Wolves, and were 3 points outside the top four with two games to play. Spurs are a further point back and up to seventh in the table following their 3-1 victory away at Newcastle United. Striker Harry Kane scored twice, and he has now passed 200 club goals from 350 appearances.
A great achievement to get, but hopefully a few more to go. Yeah, these things are great when you reach them, but on to the next one. And there's two more games now. Let's try and get a few more goals before the season ends.
And finally, an honour for Manchester United striker Marcus Rashford. At the age of 22, he will become the youngest person to receive an honorary doctorate from the University of Manchester for his campaign against child poverty. For more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
In the English Championship last night, Brentford's amazing run continued as they beat Preston 1-0 to keep them in with a chance of automatic promotion. Bristol City and Stoke drew 1-1, Birmingham and Charlton drew 1-1, and Nottingham Forest and Swansea drew 2-2. Leeds play Barnsley tonight. Cricket, Joe Denley has been dropped by England for the second test against West Indies at Old Trafford, which starts later today. Pace bowlers James Anderson and Mark Wood arrested while skipper Joe Root returns. England need to win or draw the match to save the three-test series, with West Indies hoping for a famous victory that's got the Caribbean abuzz. And in rugby union, the Lions tour of South Africa next summer will go ahead as planned, with the dates unchanged. The tourists will play three tests against the world champions in Johannesburg, Cape Town and Gauteng. They'll play eight matches in total on the tour, including five warm-up games. The first Lions tour of South Africa took place in 1891. Not even I remember that.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
Coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almarais and the Var. The general situation is a depression, 1,012 millibars between Corsica and continental France. Winds are variable, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Ferrat, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, thundery showers, force 1 to 3, variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. The North Corsica winds are southerly, southwesterly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,014 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, cloudy, force 3 to 5, southwesterly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Certainly not settled. Had a few spots of rain in JLP yesterday afternoon. Mainly fine today. Light to moderate easterly winds. Temperatures 26 to 29 degrees. Overnight lows 21 degrees on the coast, 16 degrees inland with clear skies. Friday and the start of the weekend, not great really. Sunshine and thundery showers tomorrow afternoon. Showery on Saturday. Highs of 25 to 29 degrees. Still, at least it's not roasting hot. Finally, a star's been sent hurtling across the galaxy after undergoing a partial supernova. A supernova is a powerful explosion that occurs when some stars reach the ends of their lives. In this case, the blast was not sufficient to destroy it. Instead, it sent the star hurtling through space at 900,000 kilometres an hour. You don't even get up to that on the German Autobahn. Astronomers think the object known as a white dwarf was originally circling another star, which would have been sent flying in the opposite direction. When two stars orbit each other like this, they're described as binary. Only one of the stars has been detected by astronomers. The object known as, there we go, SDSS J1240 plus 6710, rolls off the tongue, was previously found to have had an unusual atmospheric composition. Discovered in 2015, it seemed to contain neither hydrogen nor helium, which are usually found, appearing to be composed instead of an unusual mix of oxygen, neon, magnesium and silicon. Using the Hubble Space Telescope, an international team has also identified carbon, sodium and aluminium in the star's atmosphere, all of which are produced in the first thermonuclear reactions of a supernova. But there's also a clear absence of what is known as the iron group of elements, iron, nickel, chromium and manganese. Now, these heavier elements are normally cooked up from the lighter ones and make up the defining features of thermonuclear supernovas. You're up to date. The news is on the website, rivieroradio.mc.